Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Mutt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
What's up? Welcome to the podcast bonus episode. And if there's ever been a clusterfuck of guys in a studio while the intro played, that was us just now. Everyone's like pointing up, pointing down, pointing left, pointing right. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. The intro's playing.
I had my pinky out. I was drinking beer.
I'm new. I don't know what to do.
This podcast is very short. It's just a bonus, quick little one we recorded when we were in Indiana. Kind of bullshit about Indiana gun seasons and my coyote. And whatnot, but the main purpose of the intro of this is to tell you guys about this frost seed special that Big Time is doing, partnered with us. You can get 50% off Foundation Clover and Clover Select with code WCBFrost, all caps, at BigTime.com only. It's the only place this works. No other retailers. You have to go to Big Time's website and order it there. And this is valid through... Well, shit, I think it's just, through December 15th while supplies last. So, awesome clover. If you do frost seeding, I don't know a lot about it, but I know a lot of guys bank on that for in the spring. So, check out 50% off WCB Frost. We want to thank Big Time for, one, letting us come out and hunt with them and supporting our dumbasses. That means a lot. And Joe Humphreys, the whole team, they're all great, great people. So, there's the code for you. We hope you enjoy this little banger. Happy Thanksgiving. And we have a lot of podcasts coming this week. We're going to spoil you with episodes. So hope you enjoy. What is up? Welcome to the podcast. We are in Indiana, or I am in Indiana with my Indiana boys. You guys are always in Indiana.
We reside
for the most part, yeah.
We'll just do a roundtable introduction. That way everybody can know who your voice are. We'll just go with Sir Shad.
Shad Vanetti, Indiana resident, not yes. Traveling to Indiana.
You live here.
I do.
Joe Humphreys from Big Time. It's kind of feeling weird holding a baby and not a Bush Light.
You got like a coffee with...
Yeah.
It, you know, there's...
We're kicking it up a notch.
Yeah, you're Midwestern.
holding the baby, literally feeding the baby while on this podcast. And then next on the podcast, we have
Jackson Riley, also from Big Time, not holding a baby.
No, no. And I'm starting to get nucks from Joe's kid, and he still won't do it. So maybe by the end of the podcast.
So I didn't know. I've been trying to get Kurt over here forever. I didn't know all it took was making biscuits and gravy.
Dude, killer biscuits and gravy, I might add. Thank you for breakfast.
I woke up early for that.
Or
man.
Brunch or whatever.
Whatever it was.
Whatever it is. But, yeah, no, we're Indiana hunt camp, I guess. It's kind of like what this could be summed up to be.
Yeah.
My first time hunting in Indiana. It is mid-November. Mm-hmm. Deer are falling. Austin Chandler tagged out last night with his longbow, which if you go back a podcast or two podcasts, depending on when this airs, Shad, you just guessed it on his other, you know, we're celebrating his first buck with that longbow. He tagged out, which is cool. And then our buddy Cole Young from Team Working Class, he shot a absolute slob this morning that we're thinking is, I'm thinking it's going to be high 190s, right in that way somewhere. So deer are dying right now. It's like the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing deer. I've been seeing a lot of deer. I'm just nothing big yet, but it just builds up and then they show up, you know, you hope anyway. But deer are moving, shitty weather coming in, so we're gonna figure it out.
And the Orange Army.
The Blaze Orange Bandits will be out.
And you guys have rifle season here.
It's just a general firearm season. It's not rifle.
Okay, we got to talk about this because I remember reading it's been around a couple years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember reading like, oh, Indiana's getting rifle, and I was like, oh, Illinois is next. It's not good. But like, what is it actually? Is there guys out there with 30-06s shooting 700 yards? Is that a thing?
I remember back when this started, when they opened it up, because it trickled in, right? Where, mm-hmm. you know, they started with the straight cartridge, so the 450 Bushmaster, you could use 44 mags, 45 long Colt, you could use all that, and then they just started introducing some weird rounds before they opened up everything.
Oh, and really?
What's he yelling about?
I don't know.
But when they first opened, that was back when we were working at Gander. Dude, guys were coming in buying those Mosin-Nagant Russian Army surplus because they thought they could shoot like Vasily Zaitsev off that. What was that movie?
When you say those guys, you were one of those guys.
I was not. I was
you had one.
So I wasn't shooting deer with it.
How long ago did you work at Gander, though?
Oh, man. It's
back when it was Gander Mountain.
Yeah, so
late 70s.
That was at least 7 years ago.
It's been around that long? I thought this was a new thing.
No, it's been around for a while.
Oh, I thought this was like new within a few years.
Like you said, it came in stages, so it came in and it was I think it went by length of case actually. Mm-hmm. And then just a few years ago it was basically, I mean, you go out the 300 Win Mag now if you wanted it.
No kidding.
Want, yeah.
Is it so in Illinois we have it's basically the if you had to just break down what is firearm season in Illinois, weekend before Thanksgiving, weekend after Thanksgiving, and then muzzleloaders like the weekend after that.
We're a little different.
Yeah, yes. It's a lot of from basically tomorrow morning for the next month, you have the ability to hunt with a firearm of some type.
I think it's technically the second full weekend in November is when it starts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So right in the heart of the rut every single year. And it will go for, so 2 weekends plus a day, or 2 weeks plus a day. So it's Saturday, the following weekends through the next weekend. So it's that Saturday and to the following
Sunday.
So basically the end of November.
Yeah.
And then it's all out for a week.
It's out for 5 days.
It's out for 5 days.
Monday through Friday.
No kidding.
So that's more detrimental than the rifle season. Plus the fact that it only costs $150.
For a non-resident
tag. Mm-hmm.
So do you guys notice a big, in your bow hunting, after rifle season opens for that long, is there like a big change in deer and behavior and pressure?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
They're gone.
Mm-hmm. They're gone.
Yeah, it makes like, especially what I do, it makes it really difficult.
Yeah.
Try to get under 15 yards of a deer of any variety, right?
Who justified getting a rifle season besides lazy hunters?
I don't know. Probably the crossbow people.
Well, I'm kind of lumping them all in together unless you got a reason to shoot a crossbow. But
yeah. It wasn't that detrimental, though. Like, it was like, you know, change and everybody was freaking out about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't as bad as what everyone thought.
Well, okay. Yeah. It was, yeah.
Because you, I mean, you've been here now. There's not that many places you can shoot 500 or 600 or 700 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really.
Yeah.
And you can't use them on public. You can't use rifles
that's
on
good.
Public.
Can you use any firearms on public here?
Yeah.
You can use
shotguns.
Shotgun muzzleloader.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. I always thought Illinois would be next for that. And I hope not.
I don't
not.
See it, man.
You know, I hope not. I wish, and I say this a lot, I hope Illinois might adopt kind of more Iowa, like how they have everything laid out. But also, like Illinois, ours, you know, a weekend before Thanksgiving's our first firearm. That's still pretty good rut activity there. But after our first weekend on properties I hunt and areas I hunt, everything changes after that first 3 days.
Don't you guys have like a 3 day and then a 2 day?
It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then you're off. Thanksgiving weekend hits, and then the weekend after Thanksgiving, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
3 and 4.
And then I think the following weekend is muzzleloader, and I don't know like how that lays out.
Well, like Indiana, you would think that, you know, being so long, it would kind of spread the non-residents out and everything.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, that it's all the opening weekend.
Right, because it's closest to the rut.
Yeah. Right.
Everyone's excited. It's not that cold yet, usually.
Mm-hmm. If the weather is decent and everything lines out right, open weekend of firearm season, it's a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, the best thing for
us running
around
moving and
is like a situation like tomorrow where you got 20-plus mile-an-hour winds, 70% chance of rain.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who won't go out.
Yeah,
sure. Which we'll just get drunk tonight and hunt camp and see what
go
happens.
Out midday and push deer.
Yeah,
that will happen. Yeah,
we've got neighbors that do deer drives on opening day.
Dude, you know what? Do it whatever. That's how you want to hunt. I don't necessarily agree with it, but there's guys that do deer drives at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, deer are moving naturally. Like, maybe just sit somewhere.
Our basis is, you know, up to this point for a month and a half, we're trying to pattern deer and doing it the right way and, you know, learning and moving and doing what we got to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Come tomorrow morning, it's, okay, where am I going to set up where I know the neighbors are going to be pushing the deer to?
Yeah,
yeah.
That becomes your new strategy is just.
What's that meme online? It shows the guy from, I can't remember what show it is. He's got a rolled up orange hat and some shitty army jacket on. It's like you put all the work in and food plots to pattern bucks, and then a dude that looks like this is kills your target buck opening day.
That was literally what I was picturing last weekend when them boys rolled up to my my property line looking at my clover going, oh, this is where they're crossing at. We're going to set up here.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It sucks, man. You worry about it.
Almost called as bad me. As a ghillie suit with a crossbow.
Close. Joe called me last week when that
happened.
I'm
a bush.
Like, I'm leaving the woods. He's calling me because I was on vacation last week, and he's telling me, the story, and I'm just like, dude, this is every year. Like, why is this surprising? He's like, it just still pisses me off every year that they just
– Yeah.
I mean, when you already have, what, 3 stands right on your property line and then they're looking to hang more, like they have to have one every 40 yards.
That gets old, man.
It does. It gets really old.
Especially, you know – and I know there's probably some people that listen to be like, well, yeah, try hunting public, whatever. But you put a different amount of work in on a private that you call your own. Like, it's different. It's maybe it equals out to be the same type of work, however you break it down. But, you know, if you have your own piece, you're trying to make it, like, this ideal hunting property for yourself for what you can afford. You put all this work in it. And you're putting work in it from really all year round. It never really stops, from sheds to spring plots to fall plots to hanging stands to figuring out deer to running cameras to all that, to have some bum just kind of try to piggyback off all your hard work. That kind of sucks.
Yeah. I mean, my family's probably, I don't hunt a lot of private ground acreage wise, but I'm working on it all year round.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something going on to make sure the animals want to be there.
Yeah. Well, not to even mention that you kind of get an emotional, like, attachment to it and like care for it a different way because of all the work you put in. So then it sucks too, to have people fucking with you right off the property line like that.
Yeah,
for sure.
So. Well, I mean, just like your piece that you just got, you've got 80 acres. Now you're going to put a lot of time into that on sculpting that to the way you want it. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I've already planted like 3,000 trees out there.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, it's all open, you know, old mine ground, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the stuff you got to do to build it what you want someday, you know?
Yeah. I looked at it as like a blank slate.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So did you, like, plant the trees in a certain way? To, like,
I got an Onyx and, like, mapped it all out where I put in, like, you know, thick shrubs and then pines and then areas I left open. Like, yeah, it was just, like, you know, just open
That's awesome. Is that property you bought or something you're leasing? Or?
Yeah, I bought it.
So, I mean, you can watch that turn into this, like, whitetail heaven, hopefully, eventually.
Yeah, which I was out there a couple weeks ago and walked up. I was on the phone with Joe, and I look up, and there's antlers sticking above the grass, like, 50 yards in front of me. And it was a shooter. I'm like, well, that's cool.
Yeah,
like,
no kidding.
I mean, they're already out there. But
this ground right now, when you walk across it, it feels like you're walking across Kansas right now. It's just rolling. I mean, nothing there. There's a few
trees.
Is it cottonwoods?
Yeah.
Or locusts?
There's some locusts in the back. But
no kidding.
Pretty wild.
That'll be cool to see what that turns into. So, man, I always thought it'd be cool to just buy an old cattle pasture.
That's pretty much what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
And just, basically like clean slate design. Like, hey, it'd be cool to make like a pinch point here and do this here, and these will be where I'll set stands when this tree gets big enough for this one.
Yeah. It'll be a few years before I put tree stands
That's cool, though. Yeah. Have you ever thought about, I don't know what the process is called, where they transplant like a full mature tree from one spot to another spot? You ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
They take, it's like this, and I don't know any of the names for the equipment or anything like that, but it's like this big cone that drills out around and gets enough of the roots and it picks it up and it just keeps it in there and they transport it and kind of plant a whole bunch. I don't know, it spins.
I have seen those.
But I don't know if they can do them with like oaks. It's probably more of like pine-type trees with, like, more of, like, bulb-type roots. But I don't know. That's probably really expensive.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, you know, doing that many trees, doing, like, the seedling program through the state. So it's really not that bad.
Right, right. Yeah, I wonder if, like, it might be worth getting. He's fine. Just like a trade show.
Daddy daycare, man.
Yeah, hey, it's part of it. It's working class. It's part of our gig, too. That might be something to, like, look into if you can do that through that program to put, like, maybe three or four mature trees for certain winds to just get you by for some stand spots.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good idea.
I don't know. I don't think about that shit, but it sounds like it would work.
The good news is all this bitching and complaining that we're doing about the gun hunters and everything and neighbors, you don't have to worry about because you're not going to have neighborhood pressure where you're hunting at on the Big Time farm.
Yeah, that's super cool. It's a cool spot. It's like a really weird like the, I guess the boundaries of it are weird. It's like strangely shaped farm.
I still don't know how those lines got drawn.
Yeah, like,
but to kind of paint the picture for everybody, you know, I can't even talk. The main field that you're hunting that we call the killing field is surrounded on three sides by state ground. It's a park that you can't hunt.
Yep.
So you know it's complete seclusion for them.
Yeah.
The downfall early season is there's all those oaks in there. It's right next to a lake.
Yeah.
They have no reason to come up there.
Yep.
But, you know, coming into the rut,
yeah,
there's tons of deer running around.
Yep.
Later in the season, if we're supplying the food source, they're going to have to be coming off that because the acorns are gone.
Yep.
And it's just going to get better from here. I mean, there's been multiple 200s killed off that property.
Yeah. That's what's cool. Like,
may not
that.
Have had a picture of.
For sure, 100%. Well, it's like it feels, and I'm not too familiar with the ground, you know. I'm just hunting in that one spot on the south end of that field. But I can see down in the timber. I'm like on a ridge, and I can see all down through the hardwoods. And I just like that look. It just feels, because they can just pop up anywhere. So it's kind of cool to just be sitting there, but, oh, shit, there's a deer right there, you know.
Total different look from when you guys came up and we did that last podcast. I mean, even for me going back, I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
We can really see out there now.
Yeah, when was that, the beginning of August or something, we went and walked all that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And it was pouring rain then, too, which is, it was great. I had a lot of fun doing that. But it was cool to see all that and jump out of those creeks.
You didn't jump anything. You just trudged right through. Well, you're like, here, I got an idea.
Yeah.
For the record, I have not been shocked by that fence since.
Really?
Since
you learned your lesson?
Yeah.
Hey, I almost so to get back into this piece we're hunting, you got to go through 47 gates.
Yep.
And so
that's the lucky number.
Yeah. So I went through gate 38 and I get up to gate 40. Well, I forgot there's the gate and then you go another 30 yards and then there's another gate.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. You're good. I forgot about the daddy daycare. I forgot about the second gate, so I walked up to it. I'm like, oh, shit, I got to go through this hot fence. And I was getting ready to just, like, crawl over the freaking hot fence. But I was like, man, I don't really feel like getting shocked right in the dark in the morning. So
the other day when I called you and said, hey, I'm going to go out and check the cars real quick. I can't take it. I want to, you know, 3 days before you're showing up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I want to stay out of it, but at the same time, I want to see if anything showed up. Because I was right after all, you know, 80 acres of corn just got picked right next to us, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And, man, she is like
she's staring at me,
enthralled with you.
Yeah, it's funny. I got to take a picture of you podcasting with a baby.
But that last gate that we go through to get into the field, I was like, I'm just gonna get up on this post and jump over the top so I don't have to go through all those gates.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't judge it right because there's a big drop-off once I get up on that post. And my 38-year-old ass can't handle that kind of jump anymore. Like, I jumped down like 7 feet. And my back's like an accordion anyway, and I just felt it compress. I'm like, that wasn't worth it.
Not
that,
good.
That not wasn't good. Worth it.
Well, the spot where I'm hunting back in is really cool. I can see down in there. The food plot's behind me. And the winds, it's not in our favor for these next few days. It's flip-flopping, like north wind, south wind, east wind, or whatever the hell it's going to be the next few days.
Yeah, it was. It went from east-southeast to northwest to east-southeast all within, what, 18 hours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this is just stupid. I mean, welcome to Indiana.
Yeah.
That's just what we deal with.
It's the same thing at home, too, you know. But I got away with the wind this morning. It wasn't ideal because, you know, the thermals helped me out a lot. And I checked my wind up until I got down about 10 o'clock. That's when the wind started really tanking and hitting down in that low spot. But thermals were, man, it was great. Everything was going straight up this morning. I kept checking it with my little wind puffer. And then, so I don't know. I don't know what the plan is for tonight, but, well, I might hang a stand or I might, I don't know.
Got options. I mean, we had that new 10 show up, and that was on the north side. So if you got a northwest wind, that might be an option up there.
Oh, it was on the north side?
Yeah,
north end of that field?
The camera where we put on the fence line.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where that picture was taken at.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, I guess I didn't know that. Yeah, I could. Yeah, I could set way up there, huh? I'll have to figure it out.
But
yeah,
I'm dying to know how old that 6-point is.
Yeah, that 6-pointer. So I sat for a while today. We were mapping out when we were going to meet for, I guess, brunch.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to sit at least till 10 o'clock or until I quit seeing something. And it's like, it's been about an hour. I don't know. It was about an hour since I saw the last deer. And I hear on the ridge and look up, and he was. His body was just big enough that I was like 6-pointer, you know what I mean? But he was a good 2-year-old, an 8 or 10, 120-ish, just cruising, looking for does. So, but no, I mean that's the hope of this time of year, right? You know that buck could show up any time, and we're in that area, and the does are there. So that's kind of where I'm cashing in on.
Any second.
The rain is. Tomorrow's going to be brutal.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be tough for everybody.
Yeah, I have to map out what I want to do. We will see. I shot a coyote. That was cool.
That was probably one of the prettiest coyotes I've ever seen.
Prettiest coyote that I've ever seen.
Didn't just shoot it. Throat punched it.
Well, I mean, when you shoot coyotes, you don't mess around.
The pictures shoving it into the freezer is quite impressive.
So, okay, let me. This was the whole story with this coyote. I thought a deer saw me turn around and look at a deer in the food plot, and maybe it did. But the deer, then I think I texted you, Joe. I'm like, I got a deer blowing at me. She's only blown like 67 times and just kept going and kept going. Well, then that coyote popped out of this low spot. So I'm like, oh, okay, I think they might have saw me, but I think they were sitting there blowing at that coyote the whole time, which probably got me off the hook for a lot. And I saw the coyote bouncing around and basically bounced right up to me. Anytime I see a coyote, I draw way beforehand because they're so wiry.
Yep.
And just basically right underneath me, 20 yards, and just walloped it, just rolled it. Real pretty, like got black coloration on it, white, some red.
Yeah, no mange at all.
No mange.
I mean, she's gorgeous.
And where I hit it, it's like perfect if you're going to mount it because its hole was minimal size. I didn't like tear it up. It died instantly. So it was kind of nice to do it. So anyway, we took pictures with it. I'm like, man, that coyote, I'd like to keep that thing, you know? And my uncle's an avid coyote hunter, and I sent him a picture of it. He's like, dude, that's one's worth keeping, man. I would keep that. And we're sitting there drinking beer and all that. I'm like, let's go get that thing. I'm going to freeze the whole thing whole.
This is after you argued with yourself for an hour going, man, I kind of want to keep it. Man, I don't want to skin it.
Yeah.
So the end result was he can put it in the freezer as long as he triple wraps it.
So we triple wrapped it, rolled it up. I threw it.
It'll fit.
It's in a legit... I don't know what kind of freezer. It's just a regular refrigerator.
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen, freezer top.
I've got the pictures that we can post
yeah.
when you...
So it's in there right now. Hopefully
the podcast
cleaning lady doesn't thinking. Oh, yeah. But anyway, yeah. So I talked to my wife on the way here. I was like, yeah, I kept that coyote. I froze it whole. And, you know, I might want to do like a full body mount on it. And she was, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. We'll have to figure out what we want to do. Or she's like, or the skin's cool. We could just tan the hide. I'm like, yeah, this one's probably worth full mountain, though, for a coyote.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You don't get them like that, dude, around where I grew up hunting and stuff. They're just nasty, rat tail mange down. It's just nasty.
Yeah, so. That's how most of them are around here, too.
Are they really?
Well, yeah, except for that. Remember the one when we were blood trailing the deer that I shot over at your grandfather's property that went over to the neighbors? Mm-hmm. And we jumped that coyote that was so big that it waddled when it ran away?
Yeah, he was eating well.
Oh, man.
No kidding. Well.
The thing just waddled. It was like a weeble wobble trying to run away from us.
That's crazy. I wonder what the world record coyote is, like how heavy.
When we used to do the coyote crush, what was the biggest they ever shot? 47?
That's a big.
I think we had a 48. That's a big dog. Didn't we break 50 one time? I know it was upper 40s.
I can't remember.
Times.
It's been
that's
too long.
A giant.
Yeah, I know that the one that guy had a full mounted, full body mounted that thing. I mean, it looked like a wolf. It was huge.
Which
really?
It worked out
from Indiana?
Yeah.
We did this coyote crush was a veteran benefit, and you know there was for the top dogs, you know, the whoever got the most dogs won X amount of dollars, but then there was a heavy dog pot that you winner take all.
Really?
So typically whoever won that pot just took that coyote and have it full body mounted because it the money would cover it.
Right,
and
right.
He brought it back the next year and it didn't shrink any at all.
No kidding. So we did a whole day of coyote hunting last winter. My brother-in-law and Chandler and all that. We killed one dog in the first 5 minutes and didn't see one the whole rest of the day, but we're going to do that again. But I just looked up the world record coyote. The largest coyote on record was a male killed near Afton, Wyoming, November 19th, 1937, which measured 4'11" from nose to tail and weighed 75 pounds.
Good Lord.
Dude, that is...
Oh, I can't imagine 30 pounds on top of that one that we saw at the coyote crush.
No.
Let's see. Then also here I scroll down, and this might be bullshit, but 104-pound coyote shot in Missouri. So that's, I don't know. You see people, it's a coy wolf. Like, shut up.
That's every loose German shepherd around Indiana now.
Yeah, every loose German shepherd. I messed with Joe when he came in because I was like, hey, let's get this coyote out here and, you know, come pick me up. I was like, dude, it's a German shepherd, man. He goes, you did not shoot
it. As soon as you said German shepherd, there's only one person I know around with a German shepherd. I was like, yeah. It could be.
Anyway, yeah, so I don't know. It's kind of cool, man. I mean, coyotes are hard to kill with the bow sometimes. They're just so wiry. Coyote males average 18 to 44 pounds in weight. Females average 15 to 40 pounds. I would say mine's no lighter than 30 pounds. It's 35.
Oh, it's a nice size.
Yeah, she was super long.
Yeah. I mean, that picture, I mean, it looks insane. Mm-hmm. Joe's photo skills.
Surprisingly folds up very small, though.
Yeah, you can
pretzel wrap that thing.
Put them in a
fits nicely in a freezer.
Put them in a kitchen freezer.
I explained to my wife this morning, we're on the way here, that how you was asking about the freezer and that she would not be very happy if she reached in the freezer to get some meat out. And there's a full coyote.
Yeah, that was the first
in the freezer. Yeah,
send it home.
I have a very tolerant wife, but I know where the lines are on.
Honestly, the way we have it wrapped up, it's perfect.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it's nice tied up. I got a baby smiling.
No, I think she's pooping.
Oh, that's okay. She's still smiling. She's smiling my direction. So yeah. There we go.
Man, you are happy.
She's a podcaster.
Joe used to sit on my lap just like that.
That's true. Yeah,
first met,
that's true.
And he would slobber drunk and smile.
That's cute. That's
cute. She was probably pooping too.
Yeah, he was pooping. Shit.
He was probably pooping.
Well, boys, I mean, so rifle season kicks in. November still strong. It can happen. I'm hoping to just kill one tonight and I don't have to worry about hunting tomorrow in the rain and
the
wind.
That'd be phenomenal.
I'll tell you, if it's 30-mile-an-hour winds and downpouring rain, I got $2. Tags punch in Illinois. I might just kick back and have a beer in the morning.
Tomorrow morning's looking good. Tomorrow afternoon is when the crap starts rolling in.
Okay, well, then it'll probably be really good tomorrow morning. So
we're both going to kill tonight, though, so it doesn't matter.
Hey,
we'll have a double party.
You guys could both kill tonight. I'll kill tomorrow morning, and we'll just have a big old party tomorrow.
I'm down for that.
Yeah,
sounds good to
31
me.
31 in the morning. And only 5-mile-an-hour wind. About noon is when starts getting shitty.
Right when people start walking out
of the
woods.
That's perfect, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
Well, it'll be interesting to, at the end of the weekend, get back together and talk about how things have changed, because you're going to see it firsthand.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, even though don't have immediate pressure, you know, there's distant pressure that's going to bring those deer into.
Well, even then, even if
they all know it's a sanctuary where you're at.
Right.
They know it's safe.
I'm hoping, but it'll be cool too. I mean, even if we don't do a follow-up this weekend, you know, if I don't punch a buck tag this weekend here in a couple weeks or next month, I guess, when we all come, when Eric's down here with, and then Lord Chandler and Mr. Ross Bigger come down with us to kind of film and all that. It'll be interesting to see the big difference from now to late season food source, big time plot activity.
Yeah. I mean, we could very easily be hunting the parking lot plots by the time you guys come back, because there's a lot of food out there.
That sounds, people are like, parking lot plots.
It's literally right next to the parking lot to Big Tine, and that's where we're doing all of our test plots. They didn't come up as good as we wanted them to, because we went for 2.5 months without rain. Well, I think we had less than a half inch of rain.
No kidding.
In 2.5 months.
Yeah.
So, actually, for what we had going, there's a lot of food out there for them.
Yeah, yeah.
The clover's just now starting to pop, because we had last week was 80 degrees. So that kind of rejuvenated it.
Yeah, yeah.
Plenty of turnips out there in the lockdown. The long range bounced back, so there's a few oats and everything. So,
dude, I'm telling you, our food plots that we planted at our lease, we planted them a little later, and they are like fluorescent green glowing down there. Because we planted them on the edge of one of them's, there's a creek, a little bit of woods, the food plot, and then CRP. Would Joshua Daniel kill one in Illinois?
Yeah.
Good. He can stop by.
2 hours ago. Well, dang. Deer hitting the ground, man.
I know what deer. I've got the picture of that buck, if it's the same one.
Uh-oh.
He sent it to me. Because on one of his leases in Indiana, I saw a huge 10 cross the road, because I drive past it every morning and night.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of checking it for him all the time, and a giant 10 cross the road. He's like, oh, is it this one? And then he was talking about Illinois. I'm like, I'm not over there. This is where I'm at.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I don't know that buck. I'm like, well, cool. Because he sent me the picture of the Illinois. I'm hoping that's the same one.
Awesome.
Did he send you the picture in Kansas of the Shadworthy spike? I was telling Kurt about this last night. He's got a 10.5-year-old spike. Yeah. No joke.
Needs cold.
I'm in.
He can't go a single podcast without bringing up a spike.
He's a spike guy. There's a dominant spike.
That 10.5-year-old spike? Come on, man.
There's a dominant spike pushing
those
around.
It's a mature deer. That's what you always talk about.
That's like the right buck to cull.
Yeah, that's the one.
Might be a little bit heavy, though. Will it fit in the trunk of a Volkswagen? I mean, if it doesn't fit in the trunk.
God dang it, dude. Even your spikes. Well, I feel like that was a good introduction to Indiana camp. This might be this Indiana camp series might be stretched out until, whenever your guys' bow season ends. Depends on
Sunday in January.
Yeah,
is when it ends.
All right.
We could do New Year's in Indiana.
Ooh.
Or we could have a party, watch the ball drop in Illinois, and then come to Indiana and watch it drop again. Hour difference. Double shots.
We could do that. We could do that. And then I think you guys need to all come to Turkey Palooza this year.
I think it's a great idea.
I believe that as well. A good time.
His theory on spikes holds for Jake's, too.
Hey, that's fine. Turkey's a turkey.
Except with the shotgun.
Hey.
I don't shoot Jake's with a shotgun, but I will kill every one of them with a bow.
Well, Turkey Palooza, anything's fair game. You know, shotguns, you want to bring your bow, call it. I mean, it's your call, whatever you want to do.
The good Lord created turkeys to be shot in the face with a shotgun.
I don't disagree. That's
my theory on it. I've shot a couple with a bow, but...
Do you ever decap one?
Yeah, that's true. That was pretty impressive footage.
It's a great feeling. It's a great fucking feeling. Well, should we call her there?
Yeah, man. You guys got to get back in the tree.
Yeah, I know, it's getting close.
All right. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.